Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about work on models and my quest to finally put to bed the Bohr model of the atom. So lots of people here over the time will have heard me try desperately to address this big problem. And there's sort of two aspects that are coming from. One is cognitive rehab, where I've got sort of a rambling brain, which is sort of an advantage. This is people who have strokes will know exactly what I'm talking about. People who don't will probably say, oh, I've got a stroke anyway. But this is where you have a thought and you can't lock it down completely, and it rambles and it runs around your brain. It's sort of like a rat in a kitchen. You sort of, you know, it's underneath here, there, and you get it, and the lighting's there, and it's just really hard. Also, that your brain's a bit more fragmented in that you have a distraction. You can't get rid of that distraction. It continues to process in background. So it's sort of like this unruly classroom, so to speak, inside your head. And so you have a general gist. So this, let's say this advantage is to it. So you have a general objective. You don't forget about it because it's there. It's never quite settled. And you've got different aspects that come up when you think you're asleep. Other things are moving in on it. And so I'm slowly moving in on this problem of the Bohr atom. So this is your atom with the little group of great nucleus in the centre and the tiny electrons on the outside, and it's an abhorrence in terms of that something which is made out of space, empty space, is not going to hold up the Empire State Building or any other building the United States are going to build up. It's not going to do any of the stuff that you can plainly see it's doing. So it's a poor, and trying to actually, so the scrambled brain is actually brilliant, because it means that you go, oh, you realize that you have to research something to really fully understand it, to unlock some of your misunderstanding. So you go into these areas and unlock it. And so, what have I done? So I've you're not in control of the stuff in terms of the if you want to go a conventional path, that's not on you. You're automatically doing conventional stuff. So you're kicked out of conventional classroom, conventional modes. And so, therefore, you're automatically searching the unconventional modes. And because you can't do anything effectively, you're you know, knocking over in the middle of the trash cans, in the middle of the night, sort of making a ruckus when everyone else is asleep inside in their cosy houses, the warm glow of the half of an electric light bulb glowing, and they're eating dinner, and you're outside mucking around, still trying to work things out. So this has led to several strange things, and they're not direct strategies. I've got to do things, and therefore I'm going to go in this general direction because I know this is there's something really wrong here. I want to fix it. And so what's happened is that if we're going to build quantum mechanical experiments, describe quantum physics, go back and study it. Look, I must admit, there are things now that I've studied, there are now mysteries, like things I've got no friends to ask about these things, which really now trouble me. Well, I do some equations and get out the right results, but my God, there's some other problems with it, so I can't get into it. So I'm out there working away, and then I'm just trying to connect what I'm doing to a possible solution. And the solution is that we somehow organise teachers who teach rubbish to fall silent, to realise what they're doing is wrong, and somehow we get this amazing new science in front of them. And how does that happen? And then you go, well, the only way that can possibly be done is if I build the most sophisticated, out-of-this-world social robot which can have the attention to detail and the precision to analyse where a student is at and not have a generic response which leads them in a generic way, which misleads them eventually. It's sort of like, you know, this is the way my granddad was misled, you know, my dad was misled, and how I'm misled. Sort of like continue. Sorry for the sexist nature of that, but I am definitely male. It's sort of just one of these strange sorts of things in terms of, like, if you've got a bit of a fragmented brain, you go, gosh, those actual fragments, no matter what they are, they're still male fragments. It's just a bit distressing. So I have to say the male stuff. In terms of that, at a critical point, there is not the expertise there. You've got a wide variety, a wide range of people misunderstanding, and then you've got a generic misdirection, which is good enough. It's a closed system. And it goes through there. So I've said, oh, look, what we have to do is we have to build these social robots. And this is these equipment so advanced that it knows where it is, it can switch itself on, and then when you call it, it can start to interview the students way ahead of the time and know what they don't know, their misconceptions, and have basically an intelligence, a power far beyond your average teacher to go to this next step. Now there is actually a little bit of a story in behind this. This is not so far-fetched now that I sort of look back. This is far-fetched now, but it would have been at a certain point in time if you said to someone in the Middle Ages, look, they're going to invent the printing press and everyone can learn from books. I would go, that's white mad, man. That's never going to happen. So, but consider yourself, if you think this is never going to happen, consider yourself a Middle Ages person or they'll have a name for this current technical age where there's this enormous eruption of life. People are building equipment, and what they're doing with it is that they're firing, they're building explosives and blowing everybody else up. They're building weapons and, you know, technology. It's sort of like in the Renaissance, the main idea was to build cathedrals and artwork to oppress other people and to build castles to attack other people. We're in pretty much the same era. We want to economically develop to be better, to the top of the world. We want to be the best economy. We want to be bigger than the US, or we don't want China to be the biggest. We've got all these funny things, and we will look back on this age and say, crazy. It looked like there was an age where we wanted everyone to believe the same religion or be in the same empire, and the average person just sitting on their deck thinking about things, it's sort of like, oh, gee, that's a pretty amazing human race that you want to do. But getting back to this, we've got this big problem. Firstly, there was technically I couldn't build things. Now that I've built them, well, how do you get it out there? And now if I get it out there, how do I technically get across the barriers? Because I've still got the barriers of and so write up these things and work on them and work as little atoms of explanation that reconstruct like nutrients to be assembled within a cell, to be grabbed out of the nutrient mix and constructed together. And this is not such an amazing idea. Everyone is doing this. Everyone goes to the internet and they research by fishing into this big stream of of information, nutrients, and assembling it together. It's excellent in terms of you can actually find some good nutrients. When you get to certain deep explanations or deep questions, it's just not there. But for the majority of things, it is there, and you can access the knowledge, and this is fantastic. Now, what I'm saying is that we're in this age of where we've got this pool, and we want to, and we have an explanation beyond the scope of your average teacher. So we have to build a robot. You know, at the end of the day, we have to build an intelligence to do it. And it's going to analyze what the person needs and feeds them information. And this is what Facebook does and your trackers and stuff like that. But they're an intellect-based, they're intellect constructed near the supplier. So I have so much goods and I've built an artificial intelligence in there which can know people's knowledge, and I can transmit a piece of electronics, cosmetics, sweet food, or it depends what they want to do. I don't know if they're biking equipment, work it out. Very efficient, but this sort of technology is existing there. I'm just saying, bring it in front of, instead of saying we want to sell them refrigerators or pop drinks, we want them to sell them, we want to stop them believing the bore atom, and we want to teach them quantum mechanics. And unfortunately, if there was an industry, if it was economic to do it, would be like that. You click your fingers. If there was an economic case for people understanding quantum mechanics, you could go to Google and raise advertising money, and there's no driver for it. But the actual principles are there, and so you have this this idea of where I'm doing lots of podcasts. I'm sort of breaking it up. So I'm doing podcasts, and now I'm trying to do visual things for this visual library of explanations. Just to search around, so you get this. You do your quiz and it constructs a lesson. You do a test and it understands what you don't understand, and then it constructs a lesson. So rather than someone guessing what majority of people don't understand and having a story there, can artificially collapse a lesson and teach an instructor. So this is going to happen. It's sort of, why not? There's actually nothing technically to stop it going ahead, but a lack of imagination at the moment. And we have to talk about that. So, going in there, I go, oh, well, look, we'll have to produce pools, fertile pools of certain things. So rather than actually look at all of quantum physics, let's look at magnetism. And then can we sort that out into areas? That's beginning to sort out. And as I go, I sort of learn Maxwell's equations afresh for the first time. I don't know how I remembered them, knew them last time. But looking at them fresh and looking at the general structures. And then it comes down to these critical questions I've got. Oh, I've just understood that, but I'm just a little section off. And it shouldn't be that I have to, that no one can explain it, and it's down to me. I have to understand it, sort of not structured. Hopefully I'll come up across it, and there's nothing, no stress in terms of, I've got no work colleagues or anything who are really knowledgeable. I've got friends who know things, who are professors and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, when you ask sort of deep questions, I remember asking a fairly famous professor who was my honours supervisor, Professor Opap. I said, what I can't understand is the rotational invariance of the universe. That's one bit I can't understand. And it turns out to be something really vital to understand this rotational invariance. It sort of goes up to the quantization of space, the quanta of angular momentum. It's sort of really, and the symmetry and spin up, spin down. It's this one key question. He got a little bit testy, saying, it's just one of the dimensions which froze after the Big Bang, which didn't say anything, but it was really, really critical. So, for the best. I actually don't have the final answers in a few areas, but it doesn't mean that I can't stop charting out or sketching out what has to be done. So I've started to sketch out magnetism. Then, looking at scales, I've come up with this scale mechanism called International Scale Terra. That sounds awful, Terra. But Terra means 10 to the 12. It's the scale, it's the Terra scale. International Terra scale. It should be International Terra scale. That could be. I think I should do ITS. Then ITS 0, 1, 2, 2.5. 2.5 is 10 to the 12 times 2.5. 12 times 2.5 times 12 is 30. 10 to it should be International Terra scale. It has to be International Terra scale. It's not Terra, but Terra. It's the same concept in that it comes from the same Greek. Is it Greek? Yeah. No, Latin. I'll have to think about this. I think it's Greek. Terra means terrible. A pterodactyl. A Tyrannosaurus. Tyrant. It's Terra. Comes from the same concept. And this is terribly big. It's terribly big. Terra. A terribly big number. Gigantic. Giga, a gigantic number. Mega, we use that now. Mega means big. Big, gigantic, and terribly big. So the International Terra scale. So there's these five versions of it, minus one, zero, one, two, two and a half. Two and a half is 10 to the 30, and the universe is 180 yottometers. A yottometer is 10 to the 24 10 to the 24 meters. So the a galaxy is a zeta meter. A zeta meter. Let's see, is that right? I think it is a zeta. A sun is a gigameter. It so happens that this all structures out in that there's these scales, and the scale of something you draw in a textbook is typically 1,000 times smaller. So if you want to draw something one-to-one, it's better be a couple of millimeters a textbook page across. So it means that three orders of magnitude below these critical scales are the conventional unitary scale that we're going to draw things in, because we just say that. So that the say the ITS International Terra scale 2.5 is 10 to the 30, and the universe is drawn as a little dot 0.88 millimeters across, and that's the universe. The standard. So I can put a little one across there and say ITS 2.5. I know it's 10 to the 30, and that's a unit. So that's that unit there is 10 to the 27. So 10 to the 27 is 1,000 times 880. It's beneath it, yottometers. And sort of the same thing goes to at 10 to the 24 scale of 10 to the 24, which is International Terra scale 2. That's 12 times 2. Our galaxy is 1 millimeter across, drawn across. Just ideal deal for it. So our galaxy is. So 10 to the 24 is a yottometer. Ours is a thousandth of a yottometer across. So it all adds up. And then Andromeda is 2.5 centimetres at that scale. It's all very, very clear and concise, and it gives you an order where you can go from nuclei to universe across and down also. I must always mention the Planck scale. I think you have to mention the Planck scale in this, which is 1.6 by 10 to minus 35. It's pretty small, simply because you going beneath this, the laws of physics break down. Or, you know, God, the laws of physics have been breaking down for a fair while. Oh, here looks as though our fruit and veggies are arriving. I just really hope they are. Okay, so this is locked down, and people go to the door, they drop the parcel, and they run away from you. You go, Australia is really fighting against Norway at the moment. Are we getting people? We're fighting against, in terms of the coronavirus. Norway's got a smaller population, but it's still got the same, similar death rate and active rate to us. And so we're looking at it. We're also looking at the number of, you know, as you get more sophisticated, you look at the number. G'day, hello. Look, I'll come and help you. Oops.
Is this for Fiona Wood?
Yes, it is. I'm just going to... So I just got our fruit and veg. I don't know if it's of any interest to people, but everyone, most people get their food delivered by relatives and stuff like that. And there's that extreme social distancing, people just completely avoiding people. I just can't describe it. There's a bit of disgust when there's other people on. It's a fairly dispersed population anyway, and it's fairly quiet at any rate. And I don't think people know that the police have the have cameras in their cars automatically, and that just reads number plates all the time, regardless. And so many years ago, I had misplaced my car, reported it stolen, found my car, put in a report, it got a bit lost, you know, the de-stealing report or something like that. But I drove past a police car and the lights went up, and they said, person obviously hadn't read the number plates necessary here. Had a little camera, all these cameras going on. So let's just drive around the place. And if you're in the wrong place, they pull you over. And so these people in Melbourne are a bit concerned about, you know, how did the police know that I was had driven into the wrong suburb? And I said, I'm going here to buy a drink of water and $1,000 fine. What in generally happens is you get one or two warnings, or I think there's a warning and then there's $1,000 fine. So someone had a house party of 10 people, and they booked all 11 people and charged them $1,000 to get out. And there's sort of a general analysis going on about absolute abhorrence of the Chinese selling overseas faulty face masks. That's sort of like the worst type of thing. That is that, yeah, that I think, you know, you'd get locked up in Australia if you did that type of stuff. The industry slowly is coming on to produce ventilators and stuff like that. So we've kept it really low. Most of the infections has come from overseas cruise liners, and I shouldn't be laughing at this, but the cruise liner said, we don't have any COVID-19 people, because, you know, every cruise liner around the planet had them. And so if they said no, there's sort of an expectation. But the Australians said, oh, look, we've taken you on first face value. You disembark 2,000 passengers. I think that's 10% or a fifth of all cases in Australia came off, or all the deaths, more than half the deaths. I think half the deaths are from this cruise liner, another half from a few homes, and there's very few community deaths at the moment, but on this sort of huge alert when there's a community transmission. But this has been the people are now the it's hard to believe it. They've taken the black box out of the cruise liner. So not only do aircraft have black boxes, but cruise liners have black boxes, and they've impounded the cruise liner and taken the black box. I'm only laughing in that I do know that the people from overseas would not understand the deadly seriousness of you must tell the truth to authorities, or they just book you, they just chew through you, and so they're just chew through as they would chew through a P-plate driver who's going to try something on. They will, you know, they'll just bring out forensics and all this type of stuff, even for a simple parking infringement or something like that. But, so they're doing the same thing, but this is this huge cruise liner where they're going through. And there's sort of like this expectation that you must tell precisely the truth. I'm sure it's overseas. This is the tax office in tax things that when they discover. This is the small people, the people with big corporations that employ sophisticated lawyers and don't pay any tax and all that type of type of stuff. Okay, getting back to them. So I suppose dealing with the COVID-19 here in Australia, and I definitely when I'm talking to people overseas, it's all, I don't say how Australia's doing, because that's sort of jinx us if we're saying we're doing fine in comparison. I really don't think so. It's really exposing cracks in our society just as well. This is the I think the people, the sort of deniers, and there's a fair number of rednecks. They've just taken the oxygen out of them for it, but they're still there. Conspiracy theories and all that type of stuff. That being said, that sort of is a good segue in terms of people's shaky handle on reality and deference for authority is how we're going to go through here. And coming back to it is that we're going back and we're trying to actually jumpstart quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics has stalled, and we're going to jumpstart it with social robots, artificial intelligence, and massive computers which comb the internet and construct lessons, individualized lessons for people, and get them across and provide a sufficiently attractive, powerful force that we can sever the apron strings with bore stuff. And part of doing that is coming in, creating these areas, and also these areas of knowledge where I just keep on podcasts. I don't hear the podcast. I'm creating these insights into magnetism, and it's sort of slightly exhausting. Sourcing an individual going in. The idea is that this is just the start of the pool, and it adds up to it. The other aspect is magnetism. If it's not magnetism, we really have to clean up scales, and the scales, the international terrorist scale. I love that, international terror scale. It sort of like gets people's interest right away. But these five sections, which basically gets you up into the tags is that these five sections, there's different types of physics used in it, but there is this law that if I'm using a thing, there's a thousand scale is what I'm going to use. You're going to see in your books, it's going to be something with a millimeter, and if it's a diagram, it's got to have a scale next to it because it expands and contracts. Expands and contracts, and it doesn't have letters with it. Now, there's a story for why things don't have letters with it. It's the way it comes from the microfilm days, where things are compressed right down to resolution and expanded to resolution. If you have writing, the M's and the closest of writing sort of limits your resolution there. So this is why you don't have millimetres or femtometres or I suppose it would be zetametres and gigametres next to these units. You don't and I suppose then you'd have a yottometer. So they're the little units there. So rather than any writing appeared, it's actually told what the international terror scale is used for to get it going through him. Now there's two aspects of it in terms of discussing. I've tried earlier, and this is just appalling. I sort of realised that there's something about standing in front of a camera which just freezes your brain to talk through. It's much easier. I find it much easier just to sit back and think. I don't know what it is. It must be just trying to balance and think at the same time. It's like Gerald Ford chew gum and walk. How can you do that? I don't know how. Oh, blood oath. It's hard. It's hard to think on that. So I've got that scales, but ideally, it's not that I have to reprogram them such that they teach on those scales. I have to reprogram them also so they've got a thought on what models are, because there's a whole, in describing a set of scales, there's a series of word, which is a model, number, which is a model, and then finally the picture is a model of the actual object, but a picture models have a scale associated with them, but to understand what a model is and not, and this has come across to sort of understanding the actual unpacking of many, many different layers of models, and people not only have a model for the concepts, they have a model for how the concepts are integrated into society, i.e. I have an expert, I have a professor, I have a university, or going back, looking at, once there's that, you look at the evolutionary practice, and you go back to the ancients, and the ancients had a model of these crystals, the earth at the centre, and these crystal spheres going above us, having the planet, the sun and the moon revolving around us, they had that model there. So that they had that model, and they taught from that model, and they got authority from that model. Then you had the other models, Christianity as a model. Yeah, there's a God, there's a story, there's things going on, and it's highly, highly abstract. A soul is a highly abstract thing. That's a pretty abstract thing, that someone dies and they live somewhere else. You know, wow, that's pretty abstract stuff. So you have these major turning points in this theory of models. You have a major turning point where the printing press means that a different type of model can come forward. So the printing press and algebra came the age of mathematics and coming forward. So you had this, it didn't happen immediately. You had these things where people began to assemble these models, the ancient philosopher models, the Christianity model, the politics of the day model, Dante, into mixed in with a geographic model. That is the Earth. You've got the ancient spheres, and now I will extend the three concept right down to the centre of the Earth. That we are not just the final sphere. There's spheres beneath it, and other things towards it. This delicious thing that to scoop out hell, the spoil of hell, formed a southern great southern continent, which was purgatory. It was an area sort of knowing of God, not as godlike as the petri dish at the top. A circle of hell, but really that we, this brilliant idea that there's heaven in the heavens, but the heavens in the heavens is God's not above you, he's actually beneath you in the heavens, way beneath you, and that what God has done is to make sure that you don't get to heaven, he's allowed Lucifer to build hell. Hell above it, and so you've got this process, and then the spoils of hell make purgatory. This is a brilliant model, and it's sort of telling you that the working model was Aristotle, which I'll call Aristotle 1.0, Dante, and to an extent Galileo, came up with a version of Archimedes, so Aristotle 2.0. So this is with the spheres, still the crystal spheres, things working in circulars, but I now have circles underneath it. It's 2.0. It's like the various versions of Windows, not all of them were all that significant. And so after that 2.0, the importance of that is that got to go with printing. So with the advent of books and people reading things from books, a lot of the information became longer lived. It's not much word of mouth by restricted people. It became more widely available and it began to incubate. You can see the basic operating system of Aristotle 1.0 going into Aristotle 2.0, and that Dante thing is an amazing point. I don't think it's a thing. It has the structure that I have to mash my abstract model with a social model. So down Dante all had all these social things stripped through it. Then we have the next epoch, which is Aristotle 3.0, which is the Bohr atom, which is, again, the crystal spheres type of idea, but for an atom. Completely whack. Completely no... It's a heliocentric model of the atom. Completely whack. Producing some predictions which link into quantum physics, but again we have this idea of we have teachers Dante talked about his stuff is that there was a sequence. He met Virgil and he went through it. But how Galileo talked about it is that this happened in the Venetian arsenal, these settings. And now the setting of the teaching of modern science is these heroic turn-of-the-century labs where they saw it for the first time. And there was something special and flickering and great about these labs. So this Aristotle 3.0 happened in a setting. It wasn't the Venetian arsenals. The settings where these people pomps around, there was things happening in the background. It happened by these people, and they were having to sitting next to these benches with the beautiful brass machinery, and they had pieces of paper, blackboards, and it was very much that authority going back to them. What is it about the Aristotle 3.0 or the Bohr atom? What is it? I think, you know, the Aristotle 2.0 or Dante was the, you could see the invention of books. I think what we have now is the idea of, I think mass production might be it, the mass that we are no longer feeding an intellectual elite. We are now servicing an industry. We are now supplying a massive industry, that education has made this transformation. So the first thing is that the machines firstly came up and sidled with us, and now we're servant to the machine. So we have to produce students, and they don't. It's not important that they understand the correct fact. It is important that they themselves are machines. The thing that we want to do in Aristotle 3.0 or Bohr atom is that we want to get a conformed student who will react in a certain way, have a disdainful attitude. If you say something that they don't like, they will reject you, they will walk away, which is what they have programmed to do. They will not stop for quantum physics. So I think the device has always been about the salvation of souls, your own individual journey. But we've now decided that we things work bigger, better if we can actually shape everyone the same. And that is, we can go and if you told someone at the Renaissance era that we will go into the village and educate the peasants this way, people would say, mad, why teach chivalry and sword craft to someone who will only ever have a plow? Why teach physics and science to someone who's only ever going to bake a cake? Or a majority in their life. So there's this great confusion. I don't know exactly what the technological difference for your turn of the century. I think there's mass production, there's a bit of media, there's the idea that now, rather than of the Middle Ages, these Renaissance or pre-Enlightenment things of these people walking around, we have now got this basic supermarket people going in to study things. I'm just been eaten alive by mosquitoes now in dusk. But put that aside here. So this next episode, this next dreaming is it will pass Aristotle 3.0, will be the last Aristotle, and after Aristotle 3.0, that world of the concrete and the model, that's going to dissolve, and rather than actually making ourselves robots, this is a bizarre thing in terms of if you really look at a lot of things, we're a bit concerned about robots dehumanizing us. Humans are far better at dehumanizing other humans, aren't they? In terms of going across, if you look at narrow-minded civil servants, not necessarily around Australia here, we've got these beautiful, eclectic civil servants, but sort of narrow-minded controllers. You know, these would be heads of schools and industries and stuff like that. They tend to be very narrow-minded and constricted and very responsive. They have this response, if they don't like it, they will shut down. They won't have any conversation which would lead them astray from their program goal. It's all about programming people. They're about programming themselves, the environment, programming people, and they're imposing controls. And obviously this is inefficient. The amount of intellect that you have someone in control, and this sort of this trade-off, the better they're controlling, the worse they can think, the worse they can communicate, the they're so busy doing, they can't grow. So it's hard to say. I see this age where the program is there, and I write these long-range programs, and I don't think I may never be able to get to do it. And this is to program these social robots, okay, getting back closing of it, social robots to teach quantum mechanics. And in order that the steps, it's sort of like the steps there, I've got these areas sketched out, pencil line sketches, and it's outside the realm of the controlling people. And I'm just, if you can imagine, washing watercolour into the moment, and the washing watercolour into the moment is this reflective process where I look at magnetism, look at scales, look at models, and then from the modelling get this closed loop of saying, well, it's not, these people have problems with models, and because the model is a literal thing, if you have someone, you go up to someone in a clown suit, and they never get out of the clown suit, they spend the entire day clown suit, they get in a clown car, they live in a clown city, and you say, I'll tell you a clown joke, they won't laugh at you, they're really into it. So similarly, if you've got a university professor, and they're in a university, and they go to ceremonies and degrees, they're completely immersed in it, you can't say, oh, look, there's something outside of them. So again, people outside will say, well, they will tend to ignore what you're doing. And that's partly on one aspect, it's your cognitive brain, your rambling brain, not being palatable to people, but also it's not palatable to them because they're immersed in the model. So if you're beginning to think beyond their model, they're immersed in their model. So, sort of, it's like trying to just reading the Dante stuff. People were really immersed in that thing. They were immersed into the religious thing, completely immersed in that religious thing. They couldn't think beyond it. They tended to burn a heretic. They were burning heretics there. So it's this beautiful thing. So just to summarize, instead, we have this international terror scale. Oh my God, it's going to be such a good thing. International terror scale of 3 of 5. Scales, really 4. The 5th scale is just to round it off, and it then goes to conventions that the scale 1,000 times beneath is a scale, the 1-to-1 scale which you can draw in your lab book. Very hard to draw a 1-to-1 where it's 1 meter it is, but something which is 1,000th times smaller than you is something that you can draw. Then to explain that, you have to give people the idea of what models are and how physical models need a scale, and then your mathematical, what a mathematical model is. It's a mathematical model is something which the machinery is encoded into maths, and therefore your mathematical model can be rebuilt many times for many applications. And then your conceptual models. And then there's also the social model that you're in, and the idea of saying the trajectory is Aristotle 1.0 by Aristotle 2.0 by Dante, Aristotle 3.0 by Bohr, and now we are going to have a more explicit use of the technology, which is the next Aristotle 4.0, is actually, in fact, quantum physics, and we are not going to want to do something and then wanting to do something the technology of the time just naturally comes into it. I'm going to have an explicit use of technology. It's about time. Surely we can see the scale of the explicit use of technology is use of social robots, silicon, advanced programming, this type of stuff that Facebook is using to sell your data, is turning that around using the technology of Facebook to sell quantum mechanics. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.